The Tom Woods Show, episode 1832.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Folks, I don't know about you, but I am running into a lot of progressives saying, look, police, fire, schools, these are all great examples of socialism. Well, let's focus on that school example. I've got a free ebook called Education Without the State that makes a pretty darn good case for a stateless approach to education. Pick it up at nostateeducation.com. Hey, everybody, Tom Woods here. Eric Brakey is back with us today. Eric is a former state senator from Maine, ran for U.S. Congress in 2020 in the Republican primary in Maine, and he recently had a debate with Dave Smith over on the Lions of Liberty podcast about whether the Republican Party or the Libertarian Party is the correct avenue for libertarians who are interested in politics. So naturally, Eric, who has some experience in the GOP, took the GOP side and Dave took the LP side. And what resulted was a very useful and interesting debate. And I wanted to follow up with Eric on it a little bit, and that's what we're going to do today. Eric, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Tom. Glad to be back with you.
I hear in the background that you're at work. I hope they know you're spending your work time talking to a degenerate like old Woods here. But
well, actually, everyone here at the work is a big fan of the Tom Woods Show, so I get some bragging rights.
Oh, how about that? Okay, very nice. Well, we're going to talk about this. This show is like scraps from Lions of Liberty over here, okay? Because in a way, it's in the wake of a debate you did with our friend Dave Smith. And I am going to link on the show notes page to that debate because you were talking about whether the GOP or the LP, the Libertarian Party, would be the right way to go for people who look at the world the way we do. And you made the case for the GOP and Dave for the LP. And it was quite spirited, very respectful. A lot of light was shed, and I thought it was quite enjoyable. And, you know, I'll say, I think it's one of those things where whoever was the last one to speak, I agreed with. And then I heard the next one, and I thought, well, you know, he makes a point. You know, so because this is one of these things where, unlike some things we believe in, there's room for respectful disagreement on this, but you still nevertheless do stick to one particular position. And I want to maybe not repeat all the arguments Dave made against you, but try to hash this out nevertheless and try and figure out if there is a political way forward, which one is it?
Yeah.
So now your case is for the GOP. You actually have been in the GOP. You served as a state senator from Maine in the GOP, and you worked for the Ron Paul campaign within the GOP. So what do you have to say for yourself about this?
Well, first of all, Tom, I'm really glad to, you know, I think I actually invoked your name during the debate at one point talking about nullification and the value that serves for the overall strategy. But I just want to say I really do appreciate, you know, I said up front in the debate with Dave Dave and I largely agree. I think like you and I agree, Tom, on ideology. You know, we're all kind of from the Ron Paul liberty movement. And the debate was very much a debate of strategy. And I believe right now, as I heard from Mark, it is currently one of the top three shows in terms of downloads that Lions of Liberty has ever done in their history. So,
okay, that shows people are thinking about this.
Absolutely. My disappointment is not number one yet. So people should go and download it and give a listen and, you know, share your thoughts on Twitter and Facebook and all that. But yeah, ultimately, yes, it was a great conversation. And I will hand it to Dave. I think Dave argued his case incredibly well. I'm a big admirer of Dave Smith. I first heard him on the Tom Woods Show, and then I've been a listener of his podcast ever since. And Dave made his case very well. But I do ultimately think that I do think that there are some things that he's missing. But ultimately, let's talk about the GOP strategy and why, you know, I would argue that the GOP strategy is the best way forward. First, and let's acknowledge some of the failures of the GOP strategy over the last 10 years. I think that, you know, since the Ron Paul 2008 and 2012 campaign, there has been this strategy of working within the GOP by just going after, you know, trying to charge the Capitol through federal elections, getting Ron Paul libertarians elected to Congress, you know, the House, the Senate, going after the presidential races. And that's all been valuable. We've had a few victories there. You know, we've had Rand Paul and Thomas Massey and Justin Amash. And in this recent election cycle, we've had some promising figures like Nancy Mace, who's a Ron Paul Republican from South Carolina. But at the same time, we've also seen a lot more failures in this approach than we've seen victories. Of course, I ran for U.S. Senate and for Congress. We've had many other great Ron Paul people who've run for Congress who haven't made it. And it's been difficult, of course, because the establishment guards these positions in Washington, D.C. very heavily. They're very entrenched. They've got the money. They've got the establishment. They've, you know, as we've talked about last time I was on your show, Tom, the neoconservatives, John Bolton and the rest spent $500,000 in the final 3 weeks of my congressional primary to stop me from winning that.
In fact, I actually had that in my notes. Episode 1707 of the Tom Woods Show is you coming on and us talking about at the last minute all this neocon money coming in to destroy you. And I thought, well, that really should be a pretty solid argument against old Eric Braeke.
Well, yes, if the GOP strategy is we're just going to keep throwing people and money and time and energy at federal races, we've seen that we are taking on a very entrenched opponents there, and we're at a disadvantage when we're trying to take federal races. But if the goal is to defeat the Washington machine, you know, federal races aren't the only thing that are available to us. You know, we have had, and this election cycle in particular really highlighted it. We had tremendous success, more than we've ever had in the history of the Ron Paul movement, through a GOP strategy that went not after, you know, directly assaulting Washington, D.C. through federal elections, but through an indirect strategy of sending our people and winning elections to the state capitals across the country. We've elected Ron Paul supporters this cycle by the hundreds. There's 177 people currently in what we call the Hazlitt Coalition, the coalition of Ron Paul-style liberty legislators, more than we've ever had. When I was in the state Senate, I was elected in 2014 and served two terms there, and I'm proud of what I was able to do kind of as, you know, one person, you know, passing constitutional carry, reforming welfare, right to try, medical cannabis. I got some great things done, but there was maybe, if you counted the number of Ron Paul-style legislators across the country in state capitals, there maybe you could count them on two hands if you were being really generous in terms of what a Ron Paul Republican was. Now we have hundreds. And I think we're going to start to see some interesting things, not only in fighting back against tyranny on the state level, like we see kind of with these lockdowns and everything else, but also, you know, Tom, I think you wrote one of the greatest books of tactics and strategy that needs to be revisited for this age where we have so many liberty legislators elected, which is your book, Nullification. There is so much power if the state legislatures have the appetite, the will to stand up to tyranny in Washington, D.C. And I think as we see Washington, D.C. be kind of completely taken over by this, really, what is the... the new neoconservative movement in the Democrat Party, we're going to see a lot of appetite from Republicans on the state level to be open to these ideas of nullification to fight back against federal tyranny. And I think some of these Ron Paul Republican legislators are going to really be the ones leading the way in that.
All right, let's unpack here a little bit. Let's talk about the GOP voter. Do you think the GOP voter is confused on some level? I'm going to actually just leave that completely open-ended and not even clarify what I mean. Just make it as a Rorschach test and see how you respond to it.
You know, I remember when I was on the Ron Paul campaign in 2012, and I worked hand-in-hand with some really amazing, passionate, grassroots people by the thousands, and we accomplished some great things together. And I thought we were all in this fight together because we believed in the same thing, because we believed in Ron Paul's message of liberty. And for many people, that was true. But I found out 4 years later, when a lot of those folks became kind of the first early adopters of Donald Trump, who certainly channeled a lot of the populism that Ron Paul did, but not the liberty message that Ron Paul had. I realize that a lot of folks are more motivated by, you know, what they're against than what they're for. In 2012, Ron Paul was the biggest middle finger you could give to the Washington establishment. And in 2016, sadly, Rand Paul was not, and Donald Trump was the biggest middle finger you could give to the establishment. So I think that there are a lot of people who see our adversaries out there, and they have the appetite to fight back. But they don't always have the real ideological clarity that someone like, you know, the, you know, Ron Paul was able to provide. And I think that's where we need to step in as principled, liberty-minded folks, is that folks in the base of the Republican Party, we share the same adversaries. I mean, you know, who hates Mitt Romney more, a Republican voter or a Democrat voter? I mean, the Republicans hate Mitt Romney more. They hate the war machine. They hate the deep state. They hate the media establishment. They hate the establishment of the Republican Party itself. Our opportunity is reaching out to these folks and providing the intellectual basis for why we are against these things and providing the actual solutions for how we defeat them. Donald Trump, for all his kind of the channeling all the populist rage, he was able to point out a lot of the right problems, but he rarely had the right answers, the right solutions. I mean, you know, he could point to the military-industrial complex, but he was never quite able to get us out of the wars. He could, you know, I remember him talking about supporting audit the Fed when he was running. You know, the Fed never got audited. We're still dealing with a lot of these institutions. But I think that we can channel that populist anger and we can point people in the right direction. And just like Ron Paul did for so many folks, I was able to wake people up. I believe that we can do the same. And the Republican Party is an excellent vehicle to reach those folks and mobilize them in the right direction.
All right. Well, I'll say something. I've been sort of playing devil's advocate just to make it a little bit more interesting, but I'll say something in support of what you just said. Back when I wrote the book that you mentioned, Nullification, in 2010, the Tea Party movement was still alive and well. And that was, you know, I make some remarks now and again about boomer cons just because they frustrate me. I left off with them in 2010. And then when I resumed with them about a year ago, they still had like the same blind spots, the same, like, you haven't learned anything in 10 years. And so it frustrates me. But nevertheless, what I found was that I was discussing what I consider to be just an unanswerable argument, namely that there is a constitutional right for states to nullify unconstitutional federal laws. I think the argument, the historical, constitutional, strategic, moral arguments are absolutely unimpeachable. You can read them in my book, Nullification, and you'll just be instantly convinced when you see the evidence. I think it compels your assent when you see it. But right-wing radio wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole, would not touch it, even though I could get on all kinds of shows saying we should abolish the Federal Reserve the previous year for my book, Meltdown. Well, this seems much less drastic than that. And you would be surprised, almost no, but Glenn Beck wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole because the person who vets his material, at least at that time, was a lawyer. And of course, the lawyer went to law school and learned the Alexander Hamilton / John Marshall version of the Constitution. And he doesn't see nullification in the version that he learned in law school, that's for sure. So this must be some kind of sedition or whatever. And it's just the typical propaganda. But the Tea Party groups themselves, the actual people who didn't host radio programs, who didn't have a television show, listened attentively and bought that book like crazy because it made sense to them. They were open-minded enough to consider an idea that the New York Times had not approved for them, which is a big step in this society. Nobody wants to adopt a view that the New York Times hasn't approved for them. And that, I thought, was a good sign. That those are people who agree with me on some things, disagree with me on some things, but they were willing to listen. Because of our agreement, they thought, okay, on balance, this guy's one of us. Let's hear what he has to say. That is a lot more than I would have gotten from the Democrats. And, you know, I realize that the debate is not really Democrat versus Republican, but Libertarian versus Republican. But I just wanted to point out my experience with some GOP voters. And again, let's not forget that the GOP of Iowa was for a time basically taken over by Ron Paul Republicans. And that helps to account for why they invited me
Maine
back.
As well.
Maybe, I beg your pardon?
Maine as well.
Maine as well. All right. Well, they invited me to give a series of lectures up in Iowa. And one of them was going to be on foreign policy. So I had an opportunity to stand there in front of GOP voters and say, knock it off. I mean, you guys, you want to be cheeky and anti-establishment, and then you adopt the most establishment series of policies of all, namely this series of wars. I mean, this is, I know they don't like milk subsidies and it's all propaganda. If that's propaganda, this is propaganda times a million, and you've all bought into it. And they were willing to sit there and listen.
You know, and I think I was just talking with an old friend in the Liberty Movement who's been around since the 2008 campaign. You know, we were talking about some of the younger folks in the Liberty Movement and how perhaps because they didn't necessarily grow up under the shadow of complete neoconservative dominance in the GOP. They don't appreciate just how far the GOP has come. But how, you know, for you and I, Tom, who did kind of live under this monolithic neoconservative narrative that controlled, you know, the whole Republican Party in, you know, in the immediate, in the Bush era and the immediate post-Bush era, how beautiful is it to see that the thing that Republicans are championing of Donald Trump as he leaves office, not to say that his record on war was, you know, as great as I would have liked it to have been, but how great is it that the thing that as he's leaving, the thing they're saying that is, you know, what distinguished Donald Trump as a president is that he didn't get us into any new wars.
Yeah, I've heard that. Now, at the same time, here's something that's frankly embarrassing. The involvement of the U.S. indirectly in the war in Yemen, like you already know where I'm going with this, right? That was the easiest thing in the world to pick off. That was the lowest hanging fruit of all.
Who would have thought Joe Biden would be the one who's...
And Joe Biden is the one who stops it. Now, that's ridiculous. Now, that was a war that was bipartisan, and this outsider should have been the one to say, look, America, look at what your Democrats and Republicans have been up to, and just show pictures of it and say, you want to have this done in your name? Well, it's not going to happen under Donald J. Trump. That was the easiest thing in the world. Couldn't be bothered to do it.
Certainly, I agree that the rhetoric does not always match reality. But even the fact that rhetorically the Republican Party is embracing, you know, an anti-war narrative as, I mean, it's the great, you know, I guess looking for the silver lining in things, it's the greatest thing I think to have come out of the Trump era is that now this is the, you know, skepticism of foreign wars is back in the DNA of what we consider a Republican to be. You've got Matt Gaetz, you know, in going to Wyoming, denouncing Liz Cheney. And what does he cite? That she has the blood of our soldiers on her hands. And her polling is like at like 10% among Republicans in the state. She's very vulnerable for a primary challenger when one comes up. And we've got some great liberty people in the state legislature in Wyoming who I'm sure perhaps one of them will be the person to take her on and knock her out. But I obviously, look, you know, the actual record of Donald Trump as president, yeah, he didn't start us any new wars, but he did escalate some of the ones that were in place, like Yemen, which is I've consistently called out as something that, you know, needed to end a long time ago. And of course, I think he had a genuine desire to get out of, you know, Afghanistan, but he kept surrounding himself with people who would, you know, talk him back from it. So, or just actively roadblocked him from doing it. So I think, you know, there were some real problems there. But where we are right now, I think as far as, you know, the ideology of the typical Republican base voter, we are in a much better place as far as the liberty movement is concerned than we were, you know, 8-12 years ago, as certainly when it comes to the position of war.
Hey, folks, let me say a quick word on behalf of our sponsor, BitTrust IRA. I think at this point, everybody is paying attention to Bitcoin if they hadn't been already. No, you can't go back in time and buy it when it was $3, but you can plan for the future. And a lot of people are interested in adding Bitcoin to their retirement accounts for the sake of diversification, but it's not super obvious how to do that. It's obvious why people might want to do it, given the performance of Bitcoin as an asset. But how do you do it? Well, that's where BitTrust IRA comes in. They will help you seamlessly and securely add cryptocurrency to your portfolio. They store your private keys in nuclear bunkers with military-grade encryption. They have a 24/7 trading platform with no minimum investments and unlimited trades, plus a team to help guide you along the way if you have any questions. They also offer the lowest trading fees in the industry. Well, go to bittrustira.com/woods today to learn more. And for a limited time, BitTrust IRA is waiving the sign-up fee for Tom Woods Show listeners. That's a $50 value. That's bittrustira.com/woods, bittrustira.com/woods. Let's say a little something, if we can, about the lockdowns, because first of all, the Libertarian Party has been terrible on that. It's absolute silence, almost. Or if they do occasionally say something about it, then there's some backhanded remark in favor of the Fauci regime. It's just an embarrassment. But, you know, the GOP, you can find some people who are standing up against it. You can find a couple of governors and here and there, some public official, but it's very, very muted. In Britain, occasionally you do hear a very public official, sometimes in the government, speak almost the way I would speak. Mm-hmm. And whereas in the U.S., it's muted even as people's lives are being ruined and even as the evidence is coming in that places with completely different policies are getting the same results or places with no policy are getting better results than places that are locked down. And no one thinks that's worth talking about, apparently, except Ron DeSantis. That, to me, is the greatest indictment of the Republican Party ever.
Yeah. You know, let's be absolutely clear. There are many Republican governors who have been terrible on this, but universally, every Democrat governor has been terrible on this. And the only governors we see who have gone the opposite direction have been from the Republican Party, like DeSantis, like Governor Noem in South Dakota. And of course, you know, I remember I was listening to a recent interview you did on your show where you were talking about the debate and you raised Ron DeSantis of, you know, what if a Libertarian Party candidate had been in that race and split the vote and you didn't have a Governor DeSantis and you had a Governor Gollum. You would all be locked down now. And that would be a real tangible loss of liberty in the here and now for those who call Florida home. So I believe that, look, we need to make the Republican Party better. Ultimately, at the end of the day, I think that sometimes we mistake political parties as having an inherent ideology and to say, well, if you are a Republican, you subscribe to some ideology that perhaps includes social conservatism and neoconservatism. No. These are all factions within the party. The party itself is an ideologically neutral vehicle. And what it does is defined by who's in the driver's seat. I want liberty people to be in the driver's seat of the GOP so we can steer this vehicle in a direction that gets us towards a more free society, both in the here and now, by getting access to the levers of power in state capitals and the national capital where we can, and, you know, defeating the neocons who've been using this this vehicle to do great evil in the world. So that's ultimately the goal as I see it. And if all we do is we need to recognize that the system as it's built, it might not be fair, but it's the way it is. Is ultimately a two-party system. That's what plurality-based elections gives us. You know, if you vote for a third party, you are people don't want to vote for the third party because they perceive it as having no chance of winning in a third in a plurality-based system. They feel that they're throwing their vote away, so they are kind of forced to vote for the lesser of two evils. So, if we want to make a difference, the place to win is in the Republican primaries. That's where we have been winning, especially in state legislative races. And now you look at a state like New Hampshire, where Liberty Republicans, Ron Paul Republicans, are the majority of the majority in the House of Representatives. A Ron Paul Republican is now the Republican majority leader. We've never seen this happen in the history of the Ron Paul movement. Big things are happening as we are doing this state legislative GOP strategy. So on the state and on the state level, especially as you've noted, that's where the real difference can be made in tangible liberties for folks, like we've seen with these lockdowns.
Now, I realize talking about spending almost seems kind of boomer because at this point, nobody even cares anymore. It's obvious. Absolutely nobody cares about spending. Absolutely nobody cares about debt. But what's interesting is that in that absolutely nobody, I would include almost all Republican voters. Mm. If you do polls of, well, where would you like to see the cuts be? And they actually list the different areas. A majority basically seem to say no to all of them. So you have to pander as a Republican, not just to the general American population, which after years of government schooling doesn't know which end is up, but even to the people in your own party. Many of whom have bought into half of progressivism without realizing it. So that's an issue. I don't know how you solve it.
You know, of course, we go back to the Tea Party wave of the last decade, and it was exactly the opposite. That was the primary issue everyone in the Republican base cared about. But that, of course, times have changed. And I think the question is, why have times changed? I think partly some of that is Trump coming in and people wanting to back their guy, and he obviously was no fiscal conservative. But I think also another part of it is just the numbers of the debt have become so astronomically large that it just seems hopeless to do anything to rein it in at this point. And I think that maybe there's a certain part of the conservative movement has just said, well, there's no way to go but forward. We might as well just take what we can from this system before it falls apart. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, this is something that we, if we're going to, you know, as Rand Paul, you know, said in his 2016 campaign slogan, defeat the Washington machine, we have to understand that it is the economic system, the financial system, the system of taxation, borrowing, and inflation that is what it's the lifeblood of this evil empire, this Washington machine. And if we can't get enough people into Washington, D.C. to tackle it, we've got to find ways through strategies of nullification and affecting laws on the state level to tackle it. You know, I look at what Liberty legislators, you know, Tyler Lindholm, a Liberty legislator who was in Wyoming, did with making Wyoming kind of the home for cryptocurrency laws. In fact, I kind of think this Tyler Lindholm guy could be a great primary challenger for Liz Cheney, just saying. But, you know, if we could emulate those policies across the country, we are directly challenging the Federal Reserve monopoly with the dollar. As Ron Paul talked about, we need to legalize competing currencies. That's happening piece by piece on the state level because of Liberty Republicans in the state legislatures. But ultimately, I always go back to, you know, the states have become so impotent because of this system where the federal government takes our tax dollars from us and ransoms it back to us with strings attached. And I've never heard a really great idea for how to tackle that, except for a little, it's almost like a footnote in your nullification book, Tom, where you talk about tax nullification, where, you know, what if the states said, you know what, all federal taxes are going to come through us, and we're only going to send to Washington, D.C. what we deem to be constitutional. You could really challenge that system if this became a call for Republicans to challenge the Democrat monolith in Washington, D.C., to try to take back authority, economic authority for the states, and challenge this whole evil empire.
Do you want to have a final word before we wrap up?
Certainly. Well, Tom, just thank you again. It's always a pleasure to be on the show with you. I think this is my fourth or fifth appearance over the years. Just thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to be on with you. Folks should go check out the debate. And of course, Dave argued his side incredibly well. I felt like he had me on my toes every moment coming up with, you know, arguing the LP strategy as best as I've heard. But ultimately, I believe at the end of the day, if we want to affect real change in the here and now, if we aren't just kind of sitting here waiting for the collapse to happen, and who knows, you know, when the financial collapse happens, you know, it's not like the institutions of the legislatures or anything are automatically going to go away. A lot of these institutions are going to continue. We should, as liberty-minded Americans, we should be doing what we can to create change in the here and now, to get access to those levers of power, to pass liberty policies, both to challenge the power of our own individual states, but to challenge the power of Washington, D.C. And the best, most readily available vehicle for that is the Republican Party. So I encourage everyone to consider running for state legislature in your neck of the woods as a Republican. You can make a big difference there. And to vote for those liberty-minded people who run as Republicans in the primaries so they can get the support to win. I'll just end with one final note. At the end of the day, it's not about Republican versus Libertarian versus Democrat. It's about how do we make the liberty movement win. And we should celebrate the victories whenever we get them. There was a Libertarian Party candidate in Wyoming who won an election to the state legislature the first time in a quarter century. That is absolutely worth celebrating. And that was also at the same time as 122 Liberty Republicans were elected. Most of the victories are coming through the GOP because that's the vehicle most available to help us deliver these victories. And thank you, Tom, for having me on.
All right. Thank you very much, Eric. I appreciate it. Okay, everybody, before we wrap up today, a really, really moving website I want to tell you about, created by a Tom Woods Show listener. Her name is Cecile Babawi, CecileBibawy.com, CecileBibawy.com. There you can learn about her work and her book, Loving Her Mind. She's talking about mental illness, around which there is a great deal of stigma and shame. And she's telling a story about being a caregiver for someone with mental illness and the difficulties that one experiences in that kind of situation. It's very much worth looking at for people who are in either of those situations, who struggle with these problems or who are caregivers to such people. I will link to it at tomwoods.com/1832, our show notes page for today. But I'll repeat for you the website, CecileBibawi.com, CecileBibawi.com. Now, if you would like to get a shout out like this on my show, as well as free tutorials to get you up and running quickly, and membership, if you like, in my private bloggers group where we help each other out, none of these bonuses cost you a single thing. All you got to do is just get your web hosting through my link and you'll get a good price on it. And you'll also get all those bonuses delivered from Old Woods here. How do you get all this stuff? Well, before you start your site, check out the details at tomwoods.com/publicity. Tomorrow, Karen Ann Harlos, who is never boring, by the way, that's one thing she's never been accused of. She's never boring. She's the secretary of the Libertarian Party, returns to the Tom Woods Show. So tune in for that. See you then.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.